The Breakfast Huddle replay from Money FM 89.3.
The world's leading climate scientists have warned that there's only 11 years for global warming to be kept to a maximum of 1.5 degrees Celsius. After that, even half a degree will significantly worsen the risk of drought, floods, extreme heat and poverty for hundreds of millions of people. Unfortunately, you and I are probably still going to be around in 11 years' time. So this is our problem.
Absolutely. And according to the data published by the journal Science, avoiding meat and dairy products is the single biggest way to reduce our environmental impact on the planet. Now, because of this, sustainable meat products have become significantly more popular.
I'll tell you what, that Beyond Meat, it's a producer of plant-based meat substitutes. They had the biggest IPO pop since the 2008 crisis earlier this month. Really.
And you know what, Elliot? Just last week, another plant-based meat product company, Impossible Foods, announced that it's raised $300 million in its latest round of funding. But a little closer to home, Singapore has its own very own sustainable meat company.
So I've tasted Impossible, I've tasted Beyond, and I'm definitely going to taste this one because I'm into this whole alternative meat and whatnot. Shook Meats is what they're called. They're a cell-based clean meat company. They claim to be the first of its kind in Singapore and Southeast Asia.
Now, their mission is to bring delicious, clean and healthy seafood and meats by harvesting from cells instead of animals. Now, they say their meats are animal, health and environmental friendly with the same taste, texture and more nutrients, and more importantly also, no cruelty.
Yes, and they also unveiled their first ever cell-based shrimp dumpling. In the studio to share more about this is Dr. Satya Sriram, CEO and co-founder, as well as Dr. Ka E. Ling, CSO and co-founder at Shook Meats. Welcome to the studio.
Thank you for having us.
Let's start with talking about why you guys started Shook Meats. What was the inspiration behind this? Who would like to go first?
So Kai and I, both of us are stem cell biologists, and that's what we've done all our lives. We've had our undergraduate PhD degrees from that. And we were in academia using doing the usual mundane research tasks that every academic does. And I think we needed excitement in life. So we took the crazy step of starting Shook Meats about 9 months ago. But Kai can add a bit more flavor as to why Shook Meats.
So we started Shook Meats because both Sandhya and I are stem cell scientists. So we wanted to use our skills for something better, bring a product to market. Because that's not something we used to do in the lab. So when Sandhya came to me and said, "Do you want to make clean meat?" I was like, "Oh, I can actually use my stem cell skills to make food." And I love to eat. This is like the best thing ever. So we're really excited. We started about 8 months ago and we're really happy to be where we are now.
And the name Shook, was it after you tasted your first product? Hey, wow, this one quite Shook. And then let's
just Shook Meats actually started off with an American mentor of ours and our first investor. And he suggested Shook Meats. And I was like, "You know that word?"
Now, Kai, can you walk us through the process on how you manufacture cell-based meat?
Yeah, so cell-based meats, we do shrimp crustaceans. So you take a live shrimp, then you take cells from it, muscle in particular. That's most of what the meat is in the shrimp and prawn. Then you grow them in the liquid nutrient. So it's kind of like a protein shake for cells. And then you encourage them to grow.
That's a good way to describe that, I think. Yeah?
Okay. Yeah, so we grow lots and lots of them in numbers. And then after that, we pack them together. And right now, it's a mince product. So that's easy to make.
So when you talk about a production facility, kind of give us a visual picture on how does this look like?
Yeah, just imagine a brewery, but instead of brewing beer, you're brewing meat. So that's exactly what a production facility will look like.
Basically, it looks like heaven.
Okay, and how about the size of a facility like yours, like your startup facility?
Right. So right now we are still in the R&D phase and we are still in a lab scale facility, similar to something that you would have seen in a pharma company of sorts. But eventually we want to move into, let's say, a facility of 7,000 to 10,000 square feet to start off with. And that should be enough to kind of produce meat for a couple of restaurants in Singapore.
You're listening to the thoughts of the co-founders at Shook Meats, Dr. Satya Sriram, who is the CEO, as well as Dr. Ka E. Ling, who is the CSO at Shook Meats. Let's talk about the time and process, because both of you, you have background in stem cell biology. Obviously, that helped in producing these cell-based meats. But how long did it take to come up with a prototype?
The whole process, I mean, the R&D took about a few months, but the actual production of the 8 siumai that you've seen on the news since, that took about 6 weeks. That's the current time we manufacture it. It's shorter than growing the actual shrimp, which is a few months.
Okay, I see how much supply can really come out of all of this, huh, Brian?
Yeah, absolutely. If it's a shorter process, now it should also translate to then a little bit more affordable. But let's talk about why people are starting to look at this a little bit more closely. And you can't help but say that the companies such as Beyond Meat and Impossible Foods, which are both plant-based meat substitutes, have helped to raise awareness of these alternative sources. Now, can you share with us how different your process is compared to those companies?
Right. So what Beyond and Impossible are doing are using plant-based ingredients to mimic meat. So it tastes, feels like meat.
Yeah.
But in our case, it is meat. It's not alternative. It's not mock. It's not fake. It's not synthetic. So if you take a piece of meat on your table, guess what it's made up of? It's made up of muscle, fat, connective tissue, blood. And that's what we grow in the lab.
Okay.
And it's exactly meat. The taste is inherent. The smell is inherent. Texture requires a little bit of engineering, but not too much. And that's exactly what we are.
Actually, I wanted to touch a little bit on the texture, but just to clarify, with those two, Impossible and Beyond Meats, that's plant-based meat alternative. And with you guys, it is meat, but we're saving on all things like the oil that it takes to produce, the water it takes to produce. Am I right to say that? And that's how we are helping the climate.
Yes, so the estimates for using cell-based technology to grow meat, we're saving on land, water, energy. Yeah, and a lot of the environment as well, especially we don't need to use all the chemicals. So the process is a lot cleaner. That's why we like the term clean meat. That's one of the terms we use for it.
And also it helps on reducing greenhouse gas emissions from livestock. And the other thing is that you don't need to farm or catch them in the wild in terms of seafood.
Okay,
and
so how do you get the flavor? How do you get the texture, the flavor that's similar, as you claim, similar to natural product?
So in our case, since it is meat, it is cells from the animal itself, the flavor and the smell is inherent.
Right.
So we don't do any work on the flavor. But for texture, right now, our cells are minced. So it's pretty much similar to Beyond and Impossible at this point.
Right.
So you can shape it in whatever shape you want and put it in a dish. But we're already working on an actual shrimp shape.
And as a former bodybuilder, no, I'm not. My concern would be the nutrients, the protein I'm getting. I'm getting all of the same stuff.
Yeah, so we are in the process of doing tests on it. We need to show that, you know, compared to the original, it's the same. But basically it is. What we're doing is just having it grown outside of the body. Similar in what I think like an IVF baby. It's not a fake baby or synthetic baby. You're just growing it in the test tube instead of in the body for the first part of the
cycle. But what I'd like to find out is really the downsides of this, because, you know, that's what the genetically modified food producers all claimed when they first started introducing them into the market. Then we found that there were some side effects. So what sort of negative effects do you see potentially with your solution?
Actually, we don't see any negative effects. The reason being it's cleaner, healthier, and doesn't come from an animal that's grown in a dirty surrounding.
Sure.
So it's much cleaner. And having said about, I mean, you just mentioned about GMO. Yes, they started off, but scientifically, it was never proven that GMO has any side effects. And a lot of the foods that we eat are GMO nowadays.
Let's talk about the cost factor when it comes to producing shuk meats. I mean, you produce it at a shorter period of time. Does that impact your pricing?
Don't get shocked. It costs about $5,000 now to make a couple of shrimps. Wait. The reason being, it's still lab scale. We're still using pharmaceutical ingredients to kind of grow it. But our projection is that we should be down to about $50 a kilogram of shrimp meat by the end of next year. So okay, that's what we're looking at. Yeah, that's not too bad, exactly.
Oh, well, 5-star rest. I don't have to go and eat.
But let's take a closer look at the business side of the equation. You started off this business with a $10,000 investment from an angel investor. What's the funding strategy for this business now? How much have you all chipped in, and what sort of funding will be required over the next 12 to 36 months?
Yeah, I mean, Kai and I chipped in our expertise and time at this point. We are not that rich to invest into the business. But having said that, we started off with a $10,000 check. And in about 8 weeks from then, we raised about $250,000. Most of the investment came from angel investors in the U.S. And then we got through...
How did you tap into that angel investment pool in the U.S.?
Right. So it was the first investor that kind of led on to the rest of the investors, and it kind of grew from there. And I've run a couple of startups before this, so I kind of was in that network.
In what sort of space?
So I ran it in tech. So my first company was like a science news website. So it's still in science, but more on the tech side. But
did you have an exit for that?
No, the company's still running. So it's only been 4 years old. Yeah. Okay. So I met the first investor when I was running that first company. So it kind of led on as a friendship, as a mentorship, and so on. And it'd be surprising when you get into that investor network that people keep pitching you to all of their friends and networks because they want your company to succeed. And the first 10,000 led to the next 30,000, that led to the next 300,000 and so on. And we just closed about $4.6 million recently. That's our seed funding.
Congratulations.
Thank
and
you.
Who are the investors in that?
So our lead investor is the CEO of Monde Nissin, which is a food company from the Philippines. Okay. They have a global, I mean, they're around the globe, and they acquired another alternative plant-based meat company called Quorn a couple of years ago. So they are in the food industry. They want to fund innovation in the food industry and so on. The rest of our investors are from the US. We also have Temasek invested in us from Singapore via Big Idea Ventures, which is a new venture fund here. And then we have a lot of other family offices, HNIs, impact funds from around the world.
Let's talk about some of the other challenges that you might have faced while coming up with this initial prototype. Perhaps, Dr. Kai Yiling, you could handle that question.
Sure. Thanks, Elliot. Some of the challenges we faced definitely was that this is new. Startups, biotech startups traditionally in Singapore comes from academic institutes like our great universities, NUS, NTU, sure. ASTAR. We just left our academic jobs and we started this from scratch. So to find a space to do R&D was actually not that simple because we're not involved in there. And then also, unless we had connections like Sandia, getting the first funding was hard over here.
Yeah, and it's another, like breaking the ice, right?
Right. Mm-hmm. And another big challenge on the scientific side was there was no publications or research out there for shrimp.
Sure.
So we had to basically go into a lab, cut open a couple of shrimps and figure out if we could get out the stem cells. And you won't believe it where we did our first experiment. We did it offshore in St. John's Island because that was the only lab space that we found. So we took a boat in the morning at 8 o'clock to go cut open shrimp and get out stem cells.
Personal question before we wrap up with something that Brian has on the cards. I'm allergic to shrimp. Does this mean I'll be allergic to the shoke meats version of shrimp?
So the theory now is that we think that you and other people allergic to shrimp can eat shoke shrimp.
Okay.
Because the part that most people are allergic to is in the shell, which we
the crustacean, right? Yeah.
Yes, the crustacean shell. We remove it completely and then it's grown separately from it. So the component that you're allergic to is away from your muscle. Yeah, we need to do actual tests, but we think you're a great candidate for
I'm ready. I want to conquer this. Or something bad might happen. Who knows?
Now, you said that shoked meat is currently cruelty-free. But extracting stem cells involves doing a biopsy, right? And also some creatures such as shrimps and smaller fish have to be killed in the process, and when they're particularly at a smaller size. So some would disagree with you when you say that it's cruelty-free.
Unfortunately, yes. Since it's seafood, we have to kill them because once we take them out of water, they do die. But this I'm talking about is the number of shrimp that we are killing right now, you can count in your hand, like in your fingers, compared to the billions of shrimp that we consume on a daily basis.
Final question to quickly wrap up. When does Shook Meats aim to be profitable?
In 5 to 7 years, we want to hit the big market. You'll see us in the grocery stores. We'll be with other huge businesses. That's our plan.
We're definitely looking forward to that. Well, thank you so much for coming by the studio this morning. Dr. Sandhya Sriram, CEO and co-founder, as well as Dr. Ka E Ling, CSO and co-founder at Shook Meats. Have a good weekend in advance.
Thank you.
Thank you for having us.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SPH Radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.